Well, I've had dreams about a bank truck just breaking open in front of me.
It actually happened today, Wendy.
I'm sure they have cameras on the back of the truck.
You'd imagine.
Yeah, because they would have gotten my license plate number.
Oh, you'd be in jail by now. I'm shocked you're not in jail by now, and you didn't even have anything
to
do with this.
You know, really.
I mean that with like.
I'm not going to share my Hofbrau House Wiener Schnitzel
with you. Oh, you're not? Oh, you have to. Dr. John Duffy is here. John, first of all, thank you for coming back. Every time you show up, Wendy and I are shocked. all right. There's something very specific that we want to discuss with you. But first, here's a quick side note.
Yeah.
I'm so curious about this. A couple of weeks ago, Wendy was out for the day, and a story came down that we did on the air. And I thought, who better to talk to than you for this? Here's what the story is. The shooter from the Parkland massacre.
Yeah.
Is in jail now and getting tons of fan letters mm-hmm. and marriage proposals mm-hmm. and people saying, hey, I'm on your side. I understand being alienated. I commiserate with you.
Yeah.
Throughout history, the bad boys of the world,
yeah.
you pick your poison. Do you want it to be John Wayne Gacy? Do you
Menendez
want it to be Richard
Brothers.
Speck? Do you want it to
Menendez
be the Menendez Brothers?
Brothers? They
They've gotten similar
wedding
attention.
Proposals.
Wedding proposals.
Don't get it.
What's going on there? What's in somebody's mind that sees somebody do something so horrendous and says, I want to be on their side?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So people identify with these, what most of us think of as villains, as kind of these anti-heroes, right? That you know, like, oh, that's the cause that I believed in. I believe in like a no bullying situation in school, and you went and did something about it. Horrific, right? But
yeah.
But there is this subset of kids, and it's this kind of like weird little subculture of people who kind of convince themselves. It's almost like the Manson group, right?
Yeah.
Who become followers of this kind of like, or the Jim Jones group.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of groupthink that gets people thinking this way. And then every once in a while, there's an outlier person who goes so deep down that rabbit hole that they decide this is my hero, my singular hero, and I'm going to reach out and befriend him and, you know, and create my own infamy like he did. It's terrifying in a way.
It almost, because we're all trying to think rationally, it so doesn't make sense.
No.
And yet it happens all the time, doesn't it?
Yeah, and psychologically, if you knew the backstory of the people who felt this way, it does make sense. I've actually sat across from kids. I remember post-Columbine, I sat across from kids who said, I don't condone what these guys did, but I do get it. You know, I do understand why they felt so disenfranchised that they wanted to really inflict pain and death on other people.
Okay, now should I feel guilty for feeling sorry for this kid? I know what he did was terrible. I obviously don't approve of that, but I feel like he was let down growing up and was not guided properly. And had he only gotten some help, perhaps we wouldn't have had this incident. Is that bad for me to say?
At the risk of your phone lines blowing up, no, I don't think that's bad to say. I think it's important because we're talking about all sorts of different ways to mitigate this kind of problem. And this is one way, is to recognize like, okay, these people are going through something. This is happening
yeah.
frequently enough that these people are going through something that drives them to this horrifying act. If we can mitigate that, so if we can identify these people early on and get them the help they need psychologically, then we're going to be able to mitigate at least some of these acts. Can we get to every single one of them? You know, can we create a net that tight? I don't think so. I love the idea of it, though. And I feel for him, too. What imagine the pain that brings somebody to this point in their lives where they know their life as they know it is over.
Right.
One
they
way
don't
or
care.
They don't
but,
care.
But there's a huge difference between feeling some sympathy for somebody who's done something so horrendous and writing fan letters or marriage proposals.
That's not what I'm talking about,
right.
Please.
No, Bill, you're right. There's something like really, really...
And those people should be getting help because really that doesn't seem normal.
Agreed. You know, in the end, that's the punchline, is that group needs help just as much as the guy who pulled the trigger or anybody who's suffering depression or anxiety or anything else. But that is almost by definition aberrant enough to require that kind of help. Yeah,
of course
for sure.
It does. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll get to the real topic. Dr. John Duffy's here. If you'd like to jump in, we're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, it's our show psychologist, Dr. John Duffy, certified life coach, clinical psychologist, parenting and relationship expert. Please check out his podcast called Better with Dr. John Duffy and his wife, Julie Duffy. You can find it on WGN Plus and read his book, The Available Parent. There, that's done. Now, what did we want to discuss?
All right, so every year, and I forget to bring this up every year, but this is the time of year where people are planning family vacations, which seems like something that, you know, I should have no real say in. But when I find that when I work with a family and they take a vacation, whether it's at home, whether they head out to the Badlands, whether they go down to Disney World, good things happen. That family tends to be less stressed on the back end. They're out of their crisis mode. They get to know each other in a different context. Like kids will talk about like, oh, my parents got goofy and, you know, like did something crazy mm-hmm. that I never expected them to do. Or the kids all sing together in the back of the car. You know, like things happen that would not happen at home, which I think is a great reason. I read an article last night that said families who go on vacations on a regular basis, the kids' minds are enriched in a way, no matter what the vacation is. Sure. It's just like they're out of context yeah. in one way or another, and that's a good thing. That those are not the main reasons that I like the idea of a family vacation.
Although they're very good.
They're all great reasons, right?
Yeah.
But I find that there's this resilience that gets created in families. So they have such a good time together. They get to know each other. These bonds are kind of tightened up. And then when something doesn't go well, like let's say in the middle of the school year, grades start to drop, or somebody gets depressed, or somebody gets anxious, we're a little more resilient
yeah.
to that as a family. My family, we never took vacations, and we had kind of never once. And we had tough times ahead. And I always think like, I think we probably could have used some of that resilience, you know what yeah. I mean, going into
yeah.
some of these tough times. So I always encourage families, to the extent they can, get out there and experience something together as a family, even if you get resistance, which a lot of families do.
Did your family do a lot of vacations?
Always one a year and sometimes a second a year.
We very rarely did. Every once in a while we did. I went to Disney with my aunt and cousin and sister the summer my dad died, so then my mom could get things situated at home.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, get them out of there. And we tried to do vacations. One year we got in a car accident. We got hit by a semi, never made it to Cape Cod. Yeah. So you know the tales of woe involving my vacations.
Yeah.
And we used to take a yearly summer trip in my immediate family, me and the boys, to Disney.
Right.
And we stopped a couple years ago. And this year we've decided maybe doing Disneyland, mm-hmm. something different, or
right,
going back to Nashville for a long weekend, because that in itself is just you work together a little better, and there's no pressure, and it's just good for the family unit.
So good. And these weird things happen where people will talk about like the soundtrack of their vacation
yeah.
together as a family, or the in-jokes that they came up with that wouldn't have happened at home.
Right.
And even like, Wendy, you've talked before about like, you know, things that go wrong. That's the stuff from vacations and a lot of things that we remember. That's the stuff we laugh about.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
oh, geez, how did we ever make it out of that mess, you know?
I'm going to throw something else in, John. And if you think I'm wrong, please tell me you think I'm
Absolutely.
Wrong.
Absolutely.
You're in a finite space. You're in a more enclosed environment. And I think that's not the worst thing sometimes. When you're at home, you're all spread out. Everybody has their own room and their own space. But in a family vacation, you tend to be either in a car together, or when you get to the hotel or wherever you're staying, you're forced to be closer together. And that's not always a bad thing. That can be a very good thing, right?
It's a brilliant point, Bill. I mean, it's one of the only times, I think, now that families are together and enjoying just each other's company, right?
Yeah.
Because now, with screens and bedrooms with doors we can close,
yeah.
kids can just disappear, right? You know,
right.
And so we can go days. Just, we know they're up there somewhere, but we might not really spend any time with them.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, if we're in the car, or if we're in the hotel room, or if we're by the pool,
yeah.
we tend to be together.
Yeah.
And we tend to be interacting.
Yeah.
I'm jealous of all the people that get a suite, or that get a room for the kids and then a room for the adults, because
yeah.
we've never done that. Maybe it's because I'm cheap.
Oh.
I guess a suite we would get where maybe, you know, there's a pull-out bed, but we've never gotten two separate rooms where the kids get one room and we get another.
I actually discourage that as often as
Good.
Possible just because
I like
that idea that you have to be, you're kind of all snugged in together. You know, I think that's a good thing for a family. Just
right.
like kind of like like what Bill is saying, like, you know, you're going to find a way to like play a game together or go down to the pool together or do something together you wouldn't ordinarily do that builds that resilience and that connection and those jokes and all that stuff that gets you ready for whatever's next.
We also, this was my wife's rule that I was against at first, but it paid off. No television when we're on vacation. The hotel has one, but we don't turn it on. You know,
and
that's better because then again, you're almost forced to communicate more instead of all watching TV.
We do the same thing, unless there is an important baseball game.
Yeah,
on,
then
right?
You have to. Then,
who sits in a hotel and really watches TV anyway?
Well, there's a lot of downtime where you know you're getting ready for dinner and everyone's not quite ready yet. So
and you can't have a TV on then.
No. No, and I didn't like it at first, but it's actually it's a pretty good thing. I have
we
to
get
admit.
Very used to the TV, but yeah. Like you know, sometimes I think it's good to take a break from that, you know, because oftentimes, just like in our marriages and stuff, we're facing the same way, looking at the same screen. We're not facing each other. We're not interacting in any way.
Yeah.
So I like the idea of families interacting in a different way.
Right.
In that vacation.
What about this? There are people, sometimes because of financial reasons, sometimes it's time constraints, that can't get away for a week or 10 days or whatever. So they invented this term staycation, where you're having a vacation, but it's in your own home. How do you adapt it to this, John?
Yeah, so I struggled with this term. I was thinking about this last night. I think you can do something very similar with a staycation where, you know, like we all live in pretty dynamic places if we start to look around. For example, I went to Cleveland last week and I thought, oh God, Cleveland, but we're visiting friends, so we should probably go. But we found a bunch of really fun things to do
Rock
in Cleveland.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We went to a Cubs game. But there was one strip that was a half a mile long. If we spent all our time for 2 days on that little strip and we didn't spend much money, we didn't do a whole lot, but we had a really good time. And I think you can find a little space pretty close to home, no matter where you live, and do a staycation kind of thing and just spend time with your family without spending a whole lot of money. Because I think it's a really good point. I think a lot of people are struggling financially and thinking, well, I can't run out to Disneyland or I can't run down to, you know, Orlando. And, you know, you don't have to.
You can run down to Chicago. We went to see the Rolling Stones exhibit at Navy Pier and took one of those architecture tours, which I had taken maybe 15 years ago.
Uh-huh.
We had the greatest day ever, and it wasn't that much. We didn't get a hotel. We went home for the night.
Right.
And then I found out my kids have never been to the Willis Tower or the Hancock, and I'm like, all right, well, let's do that this summer.
Absolutely.
We take it for granted. We're so close, and we work downtown.
This is a great tourist town, right? I mean, if you treat Chicago like a tourist and you come with your family, you can spend days and not see a quarter of what we've got to offer here.
John, we also, my wife and I figured out years ago that we have two kinds of vacations. We have one where it's the four of us, where our daughters come along with us, and then at least once a year, sometimes twice or even three times, it's just she and I for a vacation.
Frisky.
And that's, oh, yeah. We play the Barry White music very loud, John.
This is when Bill has lobster rolls every single day.
And we have, I love my kids so much and my wife does too, but sometimes that vacation of just her and me being, you know, just alone somewhere, that is the best.
You need that. We all need that time just with our spouse or our intimate partner.
Yeah.
I love that. And I actually think that's better for kids than we think.
Yeah.
You know, that's modeling like a good relationship for the kids. They like to see that mom and dad are having a good time together.
Yeah.
So I don't see anything wrong with that. I love that too. I think that's really good for a relationship.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Good. You got to do it, Wendy.
You know what? I was thinking of that, and I agree with you completely. I think back to before we had kids. I was pregnant on our first anniversary, so I've been busy for 18 years, and now as they get older, I can't wait for Jim and I to take a trip together where I can, you know, I don't have to have, they're at that age, 15 right now, I feel like somebody should be watching over them, but then they're sort of old enough, so in a couple of years, we're going to join you in Maine.
My parents left us alone when I was six. They're like, you know where the Fruit Loops are. You're
fine. You'll figure it out.
Yeah. It's all right. John, thank you so much.
Thanks for
appreciate
having me, guys.
That's Dr. John Duffy. Listen to his podcast, Better. It's on WGN+. We'll take a quick break, get you some news, and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.